Why is this not working?
The whole system is, it went down last night.
It went down last night, the whole system. I can hardly say, get a word out of my mouth, and now I need this system not working. So everybody's going to ask, just one moment.
I get to say a word.
Is it on?
It's on.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Somebody was a little upset this morning when he got his sheet, you know, because this sheet looks like it says Haftarah. But you know, of course, that from time to time I like to talk about the Haftarah, but remember something. The Haftarah is never separate and distinct from the Torah reading. And usually the most significant and important thing is to find out what indeed is the connection between the Haftarah and the Torah reading. And as I've said in years past, it's not usually just the obvious. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We're at the end of Sefer Bereshit, Parashat Vayechi. The Haftarah comes from somewhere near the beginning of Sefer Melachim. The first chapter of Sefer Melachim is the Haftarah for Parashat Chayisora. The second chapter in Melachim is the Haftarah for Parashat Vayechi. And basically, what's going to take place over here is what seems to be the last will and testament of David HaMelech to his son Shlomo. David is passing from the scene. And it's going to be a little problematic. We're going to read what this last will and testimony is all about. So, of course, Parashat Vayechi is the last will and testament of Yaakov Avinu. So we have a wonderful, wonderful relationship between the two. Nah. Not enough. Not enough. Far from enough. Far from enough. Never accept the obvious. Let's read the Haftarah. It's a very... It's a small Haftorah, relatively speaking. Vayikrivu Yemei David Lamut, Vayitzavet Shlomo Ben Olemar. The days of David to die were coming close, and he commanded his son Shlomo Salse. Anochi Holech B'Derech Kol Ha'aretz, I'm going in the way of, that's the end of all man. The Chazak Tov Ayisol Yish, you should be strong and be a man. Be strong, be what you have to be and what you must be. You're the king of the children of Israel. The Shamarta, number one of the Shamarta Mishmer, at Mishmer at Hashem Lekecha. And you should keep that which God has commanded, Lalecha Bidrochov, to go in his ways. Lishmor, and to keep and observe Chukotav, his decrees, Mitzotav, his commandments, Mishpatav, his ordinances, Ve'edotav, and his testimonies, Kakatov v'Torat Moshe, as written in the Torah of Moshe, Leman Taskel, in order that you should succeed at Kol Asher Taseh. The key to success is to go in the way of God. At Kol Asher Tifnesham, and wherever you're going to turn, you will succeed. It's interesting that he begins by saying, Lolechet bidrachov, to go in God's way. Lolechet bidrachov means, as the Gemara says a number of times, it says in Torah, V'halachta bidrachov, you shall go in his ways. V'halachta bidrachov means, just as God is merciful, you should be merciful. Just as he is compassionate, you should be compassionate. V'halachta b'drachav means that you have to be able to emulate God in whatever you do. There's no specific commandment over here. It's the totality of the human personality we're talking about. One of the most significant mitzvahs in Torah. V'halachta b'drachav, to go in God's ways. As the Gemara asks, how is it possible for man to go in God's ways? God is Eish Ochla, a consuming fire. That's why the Gemara says that the mitzvah of Halachta B'Drachav is that your personality, your character, your feelings should be just as God, as He is compassionate, your compassion. And then, Chukotav, and it's always interesting that it begins with Chok. We know already that the word Chok refers to those mitzvot in Torah for which we have no rational explanation. We cannot fully plumb the depths of the mitzvah. Mitzvah of Parah Aduma, mitzvah of Shatnez, or other mitzvahs that we simply don't know, but we do it because it's a chok, it's God's law. And then mitzvah tava, the majority of commands, mishpotav, is that which regulates our relationship between man and fellow man. Edotav, testimonies, that's the Yom Tov, to keep all of the Yom Tov. All of the holidays, Shabbos and Yom Tov, bear testimony to the fact that God created heaven and earth and that He took the Jewish people out of Egypt. As it says in the Torah of Moshe, in order that you should succeed. L'man Yochim, next pasuk, L'man Yochim Asher Ezvarah Asher Dibet Olai Le'mor. In order that God should fulfill that which He spoke about me, so say. Im yishmerum banecha et darkam. If your children are going to keep their ways, lelechet lefanai, be'emet, to go before me in truth, v'chol levavam, v'chol nafsham, with all of their heart and with all of their soul. Ve'emor lo yikareis, God said to me that my kingdom will continue into eternity. Lalechet l'fanai b'emet b'chol avavam b'chol nafsham l'mor lo yikareit l'cha ish me'al kisei Yisrael. None of your children will ever be removed from being kings on the throne of Israel. Now, now it gets a little sticky. It's a little difficult. V'gam ata yadata, Shlomo, you know, et asher asoli Yoav ben Tzruya. You know what Yoav ben Tzruya did. Yoav ben Tzruya was the commander-in-chief of the forces of Israel. The people of Israel owed him a great debt. But, he also committed a number of crimes, terrible crimes. And David says to Shlomo, you should know how to deal with him. What Yoav ben Tzruya did to me. By the way, who was Tzruya? Anybody know who Tzruya was? What? No, you're okay. The man is pretty good. The man is pretty good. Very good. Tzruya was David HaMelech's sister. It's not a man, it's a female, Tzruya. And therefore that means that Yoav is a nephew of David. Yoav, who was the trusty commander-in-chief of the forces of David, was his nephew. And he was a commander-in-chief of outstanding ability. All right, but you know what he did. Asher also l'shnei sorei tzivot Yisrael, that he did to two commanders of Israel, la'Avner ben Ner v'la'Amasa ben Yeter. Avner ben Ner was the commander in chief of the forces of Shaul, and at one point he had come to Hebron when David was king in Hebron, before he had yet become king of all of Israel, and he came to make peace with David. And Yoav was unhappy about this, So after he leaves, as he's on his way out of Hebron, Yoav engages him in conversation and runs him through, kills him. The Navi describes how David HaMelech was mortified. He was afraid that the people would hold him guilty. You know, you just send somebody else to do your dirty work. You don't do it yourself. And the fact is that David wanted to make peace with Yoav ben Tzruya, with Avner ben Ner. And Yoav killed him. Terrible thing he did. Terrible thing. And then Amasa ben Yeter was the commander-in-chief of the forces of Avshalom, the son of David who rebelled against him. Vayahargem, he killed him. Vayosim demei milchama b'shalom. And in the blood of war, these people wanted to make peace. And Yoav killed them. Vayitein demei milchama b'chakorato. The blood of war in his belt, asheve matnav. He had his knife there. And that that knife he used to run them through. Uben alo asheber aglav, and the shoes that are upon his feet. Vasisa kechachma techa. David says to Shlomo, do as your wisdom will dictate. V'lo toreid so sevato b'shalom sh'ol. Don't let him go down into the grave in peace. This is quite a last will and testament. This is, kill. Right? It would be very strange. But then on the other hand, v'livnei barzilai ha-giladi, ta'aseh chesed, you should do kindness with him, v'hoyu ba'uklei shulchanecha, they should be amongst those who will be guests at your table. Ki kein korvu elai b'varchi b'pnei Avshalom achicha. Because they were the ones who assisted me when I fled from your brother Avshalom. Everybody was dropping David like they wanted nothing to do with him. David the great king is fleeing from Yerushalayim, from before his son. And one man comes out with provisions, with food, with drink. Barzilai HaGiladi says, that moment of great kindness, I never ever forgot. And you make sure that you repay him for that kindness. Pihnei Imcha, with you there also is, Shimi ben Gera ben Hayimini, Shimon ben Gera, who was from the tribe of Binyamin. And this is also something that took place as David is fleeing from Yerushalayim. And David is on one mountaintop, and on the other mountaintop, Shimi ben Gera, who's from the tribe of Binyamin. Shaul was from the tribe of Binyamin. He never forgave David that David had taken the kingdom from Shaul. So he's standing on the other side of the mountain, and he is hurling terrible curses at David. Say Ish Adamim, God, you man of blood. Very terrible things he says. And David's soldiers want to go there to the other side of the mountain and run him through. And David says, no. Most probably God wants that this should happen to me. So leave him be. V'hinei imcho Shimi ben Gera ben Ayimini mi Bachurim, from a place called Bachurim. V'hu kililani klolo nimretzet. And he cursed me with a powerful curse. B'yom lechti Machanayim, on the day that I went to Machanayim. When David escaped from Yerushalayim from before his son Avshalom, he goes to a place, Machanayim, and there Shimi ben Gera curses him. V'hu yorad l'krati ha-yarden, David is fleeing eastward from Yerushalayim toward the Jordan. Machanaim is near the Jordan. And he, Shimi ben Gera, came down for a shavalo b'Hashem lemor, and I swore by God saying, Im amitcha b'cherev, I swear I will not kill you by the sword. So I made a promise. I can't do anything to Shimi ben Gera. I can't punish him for what he did. But you, do as your wisdom, will dictate. Viato now, Al Tanakehu. Don't let him die guiltless. Don't consider him without guilt. Ki yishchachamato, because you are wise. V'yodata tasher taselo, and you will know what to do with him. V'horadata et sevato bedam shol. You should take down his white hair, his old age, in blood to the grave. Vayishkav David b'avosov, and David lay with his fathers. Vayikover be'ir David, and he was buried in the city of David. Vayomim ha'shemol ha'David ha'yisro, the days that David ruled over Israel, 40 years. In Chevron, he was king for 7 years. Ubi Yerushalayim olach shloshim v'shalosh shanim, and Yerushalayim he was king for 33 years. Shlomo yashav al kisei David aviv, and Shlomo ruled on the throne of David his father, Hatikon malchuto ma'od, and his kingship was firmly established. All right. So, number one, that will be the main issue we're going to deal with, but there will be some others. You read this, and you know what? You're left with the impression: David HaMelech on his deathbed, the last words that he says,
kill.
Bedam v'horadato, and you should bring down his old age in blood to the grave. And David is dead. What a way to die. I mean, is this, you know, this is the author of Tehillim. I mean, can you imagine, person is dying, you know, you say Shema Yisrael, you talk matters of kindness and goodness, and tell children how to organize it. What's going on over here? And then, of course, what's the relationship between the Haftorah and the Parsha? So, of course, as far as the relationship between the Parsha and the Haftorah is, you know, the Parsha is a father with his last will and testament to his children. And it's quite a last will and testament. He speaks to the tribes, he blesses, he even admonishes badly. Reuven and Shimon receive a portia over there from Yaakov Avinu. The other children are worried about what's going to happen. Yaakov is upset with Shimon's Shimon Velevi. Shimon and Levi are brothers. The implements of violence are in their hands. He attacks them for having massacred the city of Shechem. But over there, you know, I have my own pshat over there. Why didn't he admonish them at the time? Why didn't he admonish them at the time? He says to them, remember that great pasuk? I'm sorry, I have to tell you the great pasuk. I was in Parsha Vayishlach. Anyway, it says that they had Hamor, the son of Shechem, had abducted and raped Dinah, and then the family is in a terrible, terrible state of anger. And then there's a whole negotiation between the people, Hamor and Shechem, his son. But never lose sight of the fact that even while they are negotiating, they're holding Dinah hostage. They're holding Dinah hostage. So of course they make the deal that, yeah, we'd love to become one with you, but you have to be circumcised as we are. And they say, yeah, we're going to do it. They go circumcise themselves. And then on the third day in come these two young Turks, Shimon and Levi, and they massacre the city, the massacre of Shechem. So what happens is, and of course they rescue their daughter.
It's a sister.
Good, you listen. I love when you listen. Okay. Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon, the pasuk over there says, this is just a digression. I can't help myself sometimes. Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon ve'el Levi, Yaakov said to Shimon and Levi, achartem osi, you have made me odious, lahav isheni, amongst the Bioshev Haaretz, among the inhabitants of the land, baknani ubaprizi, vani misay mispar, I am few in number, v'nesfu alai, they will gather against me, v'hikuni, and they will smite me, v'nishmadati ani ubeiti, and I and my house are going to be destroyed. This is what Yaakov has to say to them. And their conclusion, Vayomer, they answer their father, and they say the great slogan, Hachazona Yases Achoseinu, are we going to permit our sister to be treated as a harlot? Chas v'shalom. Yaakov doesn't say anymore until Parsha Vayechi. In Parsha Vayechi, he really lets loose at them. So why didn't he let loose at them then, as he does in this week's Seder? This is the parish I'm talking about now. Okay, got that? Parish. Because there's something that happened in between. You know what happened? The sale of Yosef. Who are the ones that wanted to kill Yosef? Shimon and Levi. Oh, when Dinah is taken hostage, you stand up for the honor of the family. Hachazono Yasas Achoseinu. We're not going to permit that. Where was that great patriotism for the family when Yosef was sold off into slavery? Yeah. Now, by the end of his life, now Yaakov tells them exactly what has to be told to them because of that incident that took place in the middle. They're not necessarily the great patriots for their family. I also said once, and it's correct even today, that the Yaakov Avinu's response is one of the most unusual psukim in Tanakh. Of course, I know that you don't take me seriously because I say that about every pasuk in Tanakh, so you just don't take me seriously anymore. All right. But it is. I'm going to read the pasuk, and then I'll tell you what's unusual about the pasuk. Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon el Levi, Yaakov said to Shimon and Levi, achartem osi, first person singular, you made me odious. Lahav in sheni, to make me bad, be yoshev haaretz, baknani ubaprizi, vani, and I am the same as far only a few people, v'nesfu alai, they're going to gather against me, v'hikuni, and they are going to strike me, v'nishmadeti, and I will be destroyed, ani, I, ubeiti, and my family. You understand? I'm ready to bet there is no other pasuk in Tanakh where there are 8 first-person singulars in one pasuk. I. Now, of course, if Yaakov felt that what they did was a terrible thing, I would have said the whole pasuk in eight plurals. Look what you did to us, the whole family. Us. They will surround us. They will attack us. They will destroy us. Isn't that the way you make a point? Even better than saying, you know, Yaakov seems to be turning it into what you did to me. What you did to me. What do you mean you did to me? What about the fact that they endangered the entire family of Yaakov? I said that as far as Yaakov is concerned, what they did was absolutely justified. Because Yaakov Avinu knew the Rambam. The Rambam says that the people of Shechem were guilty of the death penalty. They were all part of this Dina incident, and they were chayiv misa. I'm sure that Yaakov Avinu knew the halacha. But what he's saying to them is, you have to remember something. You may have had a great idea, but there's an authority in this family. It's not Hefker, this family. I am the one that you should have consulted with. They're going to attack me. They will surround me. Even if there's only me, you don't have the right to do anything on your own. We're a unit, and there's a leader to this unit. So what he's condemning them of is going off on their own and doing their own thing. When you are part of a Jewish people, you don't go off doing your own thing. No, we have that today. We have all sorts of Geis HaChumam over here that travel around the world, you understand, expressing opinions about everything going on over here. Are you part of this people? You're not part of this people. If you're part of this people, then you have to remain part of this body politic. You can't go running off to Washington or to who knows where and express your own opinions. Your own opinions you express over here in the Haim. You don't express your own opinions out there. I said it before. This is my only digression, that's all. You English, I'm going to say something nice. Now, that doesn't happen too often, so that's just true. Cherish it. His Majesty's loyal opposition. There's such an idea. Whether they ever were, I don't know. I don't believe it. But that means like this. There are certain issues about which a people has to stand together. Because you're the opposition over here, I'm afraid that if you're a member of the opposition or you're the leader of the opposition, there's one mitzvah. Oppose. Oppose and oppose. Whether it makes sense, whether it doesn't make sense, whether it hurts us in the world out there, oppose. I'm the leader of the opposition, I have to oppose. So, Yitzhak Herzog is doing it already, you know. He wants a Palestinian state. He's going to divide Yerushalayim. Why are you kidding me? Give me a break, baby, you know. I personally feel bad. I got smicha from his father, his grandfather, who he's named after. Yitzchak Isaac HaLevi Herzog. Okay, that's just the commercial in the middle over there. The important thing is the following. Parashat Vayechi is the last will and testament of Yaakov Avinu. Here we have what seems to be the last will and testament of Dvar HaMelech. So the first klal you have to learn is the following. It's a Talmud Yerushalmi, Divrei Torah, the words of Torah, Aniyim b'mikomam, v'ashirim b'makom acher. It's not on your sheet. I'm saying a lot of things today. Divrei Torah, the words of Torah, may be poor in one place and rich in another place. You know, in order to understand any one portion of Torah, you have to know it all. And here is a classic example. In Sefer Divrei Hayamim, there are four wills and testaments of David. Chapter 22, I think, 26, 28, 29. Four times he speaks. In Sefer Shmuel, chapter 23, another last will and testament. So therefore, forget the idea that this is what he said before he died. Blood, kill, and he dies. No, no, no. The only question that we have to ask is, of the other five wills and testaments of David, why is this one here in Sefer Melachim? And the answer is obvious. In Sefer Divrei Hayamim, he speaks to Shlomo HaMelech and to all of Israel. He tells them in one of his speeches, he says, I have prepared all that is necessary for the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. And God is the one who told me that I cannot be the one who will build it because I was a man of war. You, Shlomo HaMelech, are a man of peace. Four different speeches to Shlomo, to the Jewish people. But over here, of all the wills and testaments of Yaakov, the one at which he is giving him instructions that are going to strengthen his kingdom, practically speaking, is here. You have to make sure that you remove any pockets of opposition, especially since these people were guilty of crimes for which they deserve the death penalty, but I couldn't do it. And you know what it's... Wait a minute. What was the first thing that... What was the first thing that David told him? Halachta b'drachov. And maybe I didn't give you a complete definition. I said, going in the ways of God is just as he is merciful and he's compassionate, you also be merciful and compassionate. I should have added one more thing. Just as God is a God of vengeance, there are times when you have to be able to... Kael nekamot Hashem, Kael nekamot Ophir. That's what we're going to talk about. Nekama is not what we're talking about over here. I don't know whether revenge is really the correct translation of nekama. That's how we translate it, I think, because English doesn't have a word like nekama.
Getting even.
But nekama, what do you want to
getting
say?
Getting even.
What?
Getting even.
Getting even. No, I'm sorry, it was a try. I have my own shita, but I, you know... I just made this up a day or two ago. I don't know if I haven't tested it. Nekama means, from the word lahakim, to establish things the way they should be. Nakuma. We're going to stand up proud and tall. Let's talk about nekama, because that's really going to be at the heart of it all. And there's a very, all right, well, very beautiful essay by Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, and we're going to be drawing a little bit on that. Here, let's take a look at number two. Omar Ravami. Ravami says number two on the front page, first page. Gedola deyo shenitna betchilas brocha shel chol. Gemara is talking about the bracha of Atar Chonein La'adam Dat. You are the one who graces man with wisdom. Seichel. Gedola Deya, great, is knowledge and understanding that it was given at the beginning of the brachos of the weekday Shmonesse. The first bracha is Atar Chonein La'adam Das. You grace man with understanding. V'omar Rabbani. And Rabbami further said, Gedola Deya, shenitna bein shtei otiyot deya. This knowledge that we're talking about is great because it appears in Tanakh between two names of God, between two great signs. Shenema ki keil deot Hashem. Keil is the name of God. Hashem is the name of God. Ki keil deot Hashem. God is the God of knowledge. V'chol mi she'en b'deya, and anybody who doesn't have any understanding, also l'racham olav. This is one of the those difficult but very very intelligent gemaras. A guy doesn't have any seichel. I don't know, in Yiddish they used to say, "Ehotish can seichel zum leben." Can't translate it. Doesn't have any seichel to live. You know, that people. And we're not talking about somebody who's not well. We're talking about a reasonable, an intelligent man. He may even have an IQ in the high 170, 180s. Yeah, and he's in favor of a one-state solution. All right, okay. Probably with Abbas as prime minister. So this is a brilliant, brilliant man. By the way, we have a lot of people floating around who are highly intelligent people, but they babble like idiots. So don't at all ever be impressed by some professor here or some professor there that makes some statement, you understand, and they quote it in the Jerusalem Post. And if it appears in the New York Times, you can be certain that it's nonsense. So don't get it. People can have daya, and they don't know omnish kil seichel's blade. Also l'racham olam, shenema ki lo am vino so al kain lo yerachamenu say, it is not a people of understanding, and therefore its maker shall not have compassion on it. Related, Amar Rabbi Elazar, gadol migdash, shenitam ben shtei otiyot, great is the Bet HaMikdash that is also appears in Torah between two names of God. Shenama po alto Hashem Migdash Hashem. It's an Oz Yoshe. Hashem before the word Migdash, Hashem after the word Migdash. A third, Vamar Rav Elazar, kolad mishesh bodei, a person who has intelligence. Keilu nivne beis HaMikdash b'yamav, it is as if the sanctuary was built in his days. Because deya, intelligence, and mikdash are similar. Deya appears surrounded by two names of God. Mikdash is surrounded on both sides by the name of God. So anybody who has deya, it is as though the Bet HaMikdash was built in his days. Matkif lo, Rav Acha Karchinoi, Rav Acha Karchinoi asked the following question. Elo meyata, if so, gedola nekama, shenitna ben shtei otiyot. Nekama also, revenge also appears between two names of God. Shenema, keil nekamot Hashem, keil nekamot Hofia, the God of nekama. Hey, he's upset. And the Gemara answers, Amalei Rav Elazar is the one who answers and says, N, yes, b'miltei miyo gedolahi, in its proper place where it's necessary, nekama is great. Now, I would like to give a further translation of nekama. There were many times, and it still appears every so often, I remember in the 70s and the 80s, When there was an attack on a terrorist base, the Time magazine were the worst Old Testament vengeance, an eye for an eye. Israeli jet struck at an eye for an eye. Old Testament vengeance. So I remember my oldest brother, Rav Yosef Yael, said, they don't get it. There's a fundamental difference between revenge and retaliation. Revenge, you hit me. and I beat up your 5-year-old kid. That's revenge. You attack me, and I attack you back. Yeah. That's retaliation. Retaliation is not only absolutely justified, it's an absolute necessity. You don't retaliate, you're finished. The word nekama, according to the Gemara now, includes, it doesn't include vengeance. Because the English word vengeance means that all I'm getting out of it is this good, warm feeling that I got him. That's also according to Torah. There's no such thing as I'm taking revenge on you, and the only thing that I come out with is that I got you back. What is permitted and is very often a mitzvah is retaliation. The Gevashim says, where is it? In Parshas Pinchas? Mekom nikmas bnei Yisrael me'ez ha-midyanim. The midyanim who caused you to sin. Go after them. And Moshe Rabbeinu sends 12,000 men out. What does it say? By Pinchas? What does it say? By Pinchas? What do you like that? I opened Kamat to the page. Pinchas, not there, it says Kin Ati. But wait a minute. The Torah says the Gevashim himself is Kael Do Kain. He's a god of Nekama. It doesn't mean revenge as in English. So now let's go back to our Gemara over here. So Rav Elazar is telling Rav Acha Karchinoi, Amalei, and Bimilse, when it's necessary, Mio Gedolai, in its proper place, vengeance is indeed a great thing. Vahenu Domar Ula, and that's what Ula said. Shtei Nekamos Halalu Lama. Why does it say, Kael Nekamot Hashem, Kael Nekamot Hofia? Why the two times the word Nekama? Achas L'Tova V'Achas L'Ra. One is to give reward, and the other is to give punishment. And there are times when punishment is necessary. And then nekama becomes a mitzvah. All right? Now let's learn another piece of Gemara on the other side. It's a big piece of Gemara. I don't know how we're going to get it finished somehow or other. Where are Shimon and Levi were definitely retaliation. Remember, they're still holding Dina. Yaakov is criticizing the fact that they did not discuss what they're going to do with the whole family. We're a unit. You're a unit, and we have to decide on everything together. Why did the whole family decide to ask of them to circumcise themselves? Obviously, their plan was to go into the city and rescue Dina. The question is, what were they going to do in the city? Were they going to kill some? Were they going to kill all? Were they going to kill only Hamor and Shechem? You have to be disciplined. You're part of this great family. All right, very interesting Gemara. Okay. What's done? Let's go on. The Gemara is talking about the burial of Yaakov in the Maras HaMachpelah, Sedra, right? And you'll see how fascinating the relationship between the Sedra and the Haftorah. Anyway, they came to the Maris HaMachpelah, and so the Gemara says, Reb Yitzchak says, it's called Kiryat Arba, because there were four couples that were buried there, Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and now Yaakov and Leah. Okay, now, on the right-hand side at the top, anyway, here it is. Along comes Esav, attends the funeral of Yaakov, and Esav says, you know, it belongs to me. You can't bury Yaakov there. Everything belongs to me. I'm the heir. Where is it? Here. Right, anyway, what the Gemara says is, the Gemara returns to Esau's argument. You see that in middle of the right-hand side paragraph. The Gemara returns to Esau's argument. Amalahu. Esau said, Havuli Igarta. If Yaakov bought the Maris HaMachpelah, and that's why you want to bury him here, I want to see the deed. Amulei, they said, Igarta bi'arid Mitzrayim. We left the letter in Egypt. And they said, now, Uman Nezel, who's going to go to Mitzrayim and pick up the deed? I mean, you understand? The whole Levaya is stopped. The whole world is there. Egyptians, who knows how many hundreds or thousands of Egyptians are there. There's a Levaya about to take place. Esau stops. No. This is illegal. It belongs to me. So the brothers say, but we have title to it. Where is it? We left it in Egypt. So the brothers say, hey, we better get this from Egypt. So who are we going to send? Man Nezel. So the Gemara says, Nezel Naphtali. They said Naphtali should go. The Khalil Ki Ayalta, because he's swift as a hind. What's the symbol of
the post office?
What was I going to ask?
The post office.
The symbol is a deer, because Naphtali, in this week's Seder, Yaakov refers to him as Naphtali Ayolo Shlucha. Okay? He is swift as a deer. The Ksiv Naphtali Ayolo Shlucha. Hanosin Imre, Omer Be'avu, Altikri Mishefer, Imre Sefer. He's going to bring the Sefer. And I go to the left hand side. Chushim Berei the Don Taman Hava. You know who was standing there at the gravesite? Chushim, the son of Don. V'yakidon Le Udne. He couldn't hear. Chushim, the son of Dan, couldn't hear. Amalahu said to somebody, what's going on with you? Why isn't the funeral taking place? So they told him that, well, you know, Esav is claiming it's his, and we told him, no, we bought it. Where's the deed? And Naphtali is going now to Mitzrayim to pick up the deed. Amalusa Chushim said, my high, what's this? Ba'amru le koma'ak fahai. That fellow over there is holding up the whole proceeding. So Chushim said, Ad the Asa Naphtali may ada the Mitzrayim? No, first I say, we're waiting until Naphtali comes from the land of Egypt. Amalahu, listen to what Chushim ben Dan says. And until Naphtali comes back from the land of Egypt, my Seder is going to be lying here in shame. What's going on over here? So he took a stick, he hit Esav on the head and killed him, and his head came rolling off and rolled into the kever. You understand? Watch this Gemara. By the way, you have to know a number of things about Chushim ben Dan. Chushim ben Dan was the only son of Dan. So he had one son, couldn't hear well. Binyamin had 10 children. If you'll take a look at the end of Torah, when they're counted again in Parshas Pinchas, from Chushim ben Dan, Dan had close to 70,000. Binyamin from his 10 children ended up someplace around 30,000. So you know, I'm sure when people were sitting, I remember Rav Pam, when they sat around the table at Yaakov Avinu's table, they must have had felt so bad for Dan. He has one kid, you know, one kid, poor kid can't hear. Nebuchadnezzar said, Binyamin, take a look. You never know anything. You never know anything. A few hundred years later, Dan is mighty powerful from that one Chushim. And Nebuch, Binyamin with his 10 children. But Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz says something else in a different mimer. He says, why did Chushim ben Dan do what nobody else had the guts to do? So he says, I'm going to take a great thought and, you know, just diminish it into one sentence. One of man's difficulties is that he gets used to intolerable situations. Sometimes it can be the greatest advantage of all. The ability to adjust, to an intolerable situation. Those who had the power to adjust were the ones who survived the Holocaust. The ones who couldn't adjust. What happens over here is a conversation begins. Once you're involved in the conversation and you're negotiating, so you think any minute now, you know, all right, we're going to say the right thing, it's all over, we're going to bury him. But you know what happens? No, he's not getting buried yet. And as each moment goes by and you're negotiating, the intolerable becomes more tolerable. Okay? Chushim ben Dan hears it all in 1 second of time. He didn't have any opportunity to get used to anything. He doesn't know what's going on. All he hears is that until Naftali returns from Mitzrayim, Avi Abba is going to be lying there. But here comes the important part of the Gemara. It's all important. Chushim took hold of a staff, Machye Areshi, hit Esau on his head, killing him. Watch this. Natran Ene, Esav eyes popped out, v'naflu akaro de Yaakov, and fell on Yaakov's feet. Patchinu Yaakov le'ene, Yaakov opened up his eyes, v'achich, and he smiled. Gemara is in a fascinating way sending a great message. You know what Yaakov is saying? That's what the guy deserved. What's taking place over here, justice has been done. And the justice has been done, that's God's nekama, keil nekamot Hashem. There is nekama which is ugly, vengeance which has no redeeming factor except that one enjoys the revenge. No redeeming factor. Asur. Lotikum lotitor. But when there is meaning and significance to it, oh boy, this, you know what it becomes? For halachta bidrachov, going in the ways of God. Not only is it just as God is compassionate and merciful, you should be compassionate and merciful. just as God is a God of vengeance, you also have to be at the correct moment in history. You have to be a God of vengeance. You can't sit around and be good and kind and warm to everybody. They're out after us. They want to destroy us. So you sit back? You don't sit back. In today's Haftorah, do you know what David HaMelech is teaching Shlomo? Shlomo, Zaynish Kanar. You have to understand that if you want your kingdom to last, then you're going to, it's not all just, you know, roses and what else? It's not. It's a difficult job. There are moments at which you're going to have to be tough as nails. And if you're not tough as nails, you're going to lose the kingdom. What the purpose of this Haftorah is the practical advice that's being given by David to Shlomo. And you know what it really is? It's really the completion of what Yaakov said in the Sedra. Yaakov in the Sedra gives the bracha to... what's the bracha to Yehuda? Ato yoducha achecha. Your brothers are going to thank you. Lo yosur shevet mi Yehuda. Rulership shall not leave Yehuda umchokek mi bein raglo ad ki yavo shilo, until Moshiach comes. What's being established over here by David HaMelech in the Haftorah is the dynasty that's going to bring Mashiach. And you're going to survive only if you're tough enough to survive. And if you're not tough enough to survive, and you're going to be, you know, peace on earth and goodwill toward all men, which Christianity never fulfilled. They became the biggest killers in history. Bedin, it has to be with justice. So I'm telling you that Shimi ben Gera has to die. Yoav ben Tzruya has to die. And that is v'halachto bedrachav. That's going in the ways of God. God is not only merciful and compassionate, he also demands justice. Then there's one other point that has to be made. There has to be a balance in the world and in history, and that balance includes two things: rewarding those who deserve reward and punishing those who have to be punished. If any one of the two is missing, you're going to have a world that's askew, a world that's just not, it's unbalanced. And in David's last word, what we think are the last words, he's saying, Barzilai HaGiladei. Oh, that was a friend in need at a time of great need. Make sure that he's going to be rewarded. That's God. There's reward and punishment. That's fundamental to all of Yadut, reward and punishment. Just as it is fundamental in Malchut Shamayim, the kingdom of heaven, it is fundamental in Malchut right here on this earth. If you're going to have one without the other, you're going to fall. You're going to collapse. There will not be a Malchus. And there's something else. David HaMelech, Yaakov Avinu is telling in the parasha, he's telling him, your kingdom should continue ad ki yavo shilom, until Mashiach comes. What Yaakov is saying in the parasha is he's setting the groundwork for Mashiach. And that's exactly what David is doing in the Haftorah. Remember, the Rambam says Mashiach is going to wage the wars of the Jewish people. He's going to defend the Jewish people against all those who stand up again. That's war. That's shedding of blood. That's all necessary. Otherwise, The world is in a world of imbalance. There has to be reward, there has to be punishment. And that's only the only way that we can go that journey that started at the beginning of Parshat Bereshit. Chachmei, maybe Chachmei HaKabbalah, I don't know who says, maybe Chachmei HaChassidus. Adam, first man, Aleph, Dalet, Mem. Adam, David, Mashiach. So here it is in the Parsha, Yaakov is telling us about Malchus Beis David. And he's also telling us about Mashiach. And in the Haftarah, we are being told how that's going to happen. That's Shir on the Haftarah. Okay.
One word you missed.
Can you close that? No, just this. No.
Just because
close it.